Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, August 22nd, 2011. Hope you had a great weekend. It was a good weekend. We got out there, did a little gardening at the Hacienda de Buckmaster, and things started to look pretty good in the backyard. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, AM 1030. And it is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And we're delighted to have our simulcast partners, our friends up in Gila County and Globe, are listening to the Buckmaster Show on KJAA, AM 1240. Our friends in Cochise County, Sierra Vista, throughout the county and in Santa Cruz County, they're listening to the Buckmaster Show on KAPR, AM 930 in Douglas. And together with those three stations, we've got you covered Southern Arizona. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show there at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of our previous programs. Plus, thanks to our new agreement with the online Tucson Sentinel news service, the Buckmaster Show can be heard anytime at tucsonsentinel.com. We are live Monday through Friday, from noon to 1. The lineup for today's show, if it's Monday, it's Monday Political Face-Off time with two of our commentators. Today's team will be John Munger and Paul Eckerstrom. Then at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk about this really terrible drought that has hit parts of the West. We'll be talking with Mitch Tobin, who's the Buckmaster Show contributor on the environment. Then we close out the show with Dr. Leslie Boyer, director of the Viper Institute. Love that name. At the University of Arizona, Dr. Boyer is discussing the development of a first-of-a-kind drug to treat scorpion stings. Very appropriate for where we live in the Southwest. Buckmaster Show is an interview-driven talk show, and we encourage you to be part of the conversation by calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, or toll-free from anywhere in North America, 1-866-725-5467. You can also email your questions to us at buckmastershow.com. You can submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And if you have a story idea, we want to hear from you. We encourage you to contact us. We begin with our political face-off featuring Paul Eckerstrom. Mr. Eckerstrom is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. He's the current vice chair of the local party. And John Munger is with me in studio. Mr. Munger, former state and local chair of the Pima County Republican Party and a candidate for governor last year. John and Paul, good to have you with us.
Good to talk to you, Bill.
Good to be back here again.
Yes, Paul, I understand you're up in Flagstaff. If you're going to have car trouble, Paul, I guess that's the place to do it, huh?
In the nice, cool pines of Flagstaff, yep.
Yeah, let's begin with a week ago we were talking about Warren Buffett, who is saying that he, along with other super rich, are being coddled because they're not paying what Mr. Buffett believes are the fair share of taxes. Well, we're going to begin today with my response to Buffett and Obama. Not my response, but the response of Harvey Golub, who is writing in the Wall Street Journal. Mr. Golub, a former chair and CEO of American Express, currently serves on the executive committee of the American Enterprise Institute. Bottom line, John and Paul, he says, before you ask for more tax money from me, raise the $2.2 trillion you already collect each year for more fairly, or do it more fairly and spend it more wisely. John Munger, let's begin with you.
Well, I agree with that. You know, what people forget is that 50% of Americans do not pay any federal tax at all. And the so-called evil rich, which includes people of $250,000 and up, pay something in the range of 60 to 70% of the taxes in the country. So it's hardly fair to say that people making in the category of $250,000, which is not rich, that they should be carrying yet a heavier load in this country. You know, even talking about Warren Buffett is a red herring. Warren, when people talk about raising taxes, when Warren Buffett starts talking about raising taxes, you know, it's one thing to raise taxes on Warren Buffett, But to lump him in with categories of people who make $250,000 or more is ridiculous. Warren Buffett's already made his money. It's easy for him to say, oh, I should be taxed more. You know, if he wants to pay more, he can voluntarily pay more. Nobody's holding him back from paying more. But to say we're going to tax the rich because Warren Buffett is a rich guy and it's okay with him is ridiculous. What about, you know, because that category of so-called rich goes down to $250,000wage earners, and those people are already paying 70% of taxes while 50% of the people in the country are not paying any taxes at all. That's ridiculous.
Okay, that's John Munger. Here's Paul Eckerstrom. What do you think about that, Paul?
Well, you know, I think Warren Buffett made a really good point. He's a billionaire who gets taxed to the tune of about 17% of his entire income. That's not a lot for a billionaire. Now, he pays about $6 million in taxes, but that, for him, is nothing. And while at the same time his secretary and his other employees who just make middle-class wages are getting, taxed to the tune of well over 35%, doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And the other thing that doesn't make a lot of sense is the wealthy did real well in the 90s, and they had a higher tax rate in the 90s, but they did really well. And they're still doing really well, and they even have lower tax rates now because of the Bush tax cuts. What's happened over the last 20 years, we've seen a concentration of wealth in this country unprecedented.
That's not true, Paul. Statistics don't bear no.
Let me finish, John. I didn't interrupt you. The top 1% of this country owns 25% of the wealth of this country. That's a higher concentration of wealth than we had before the Great Depression. And that was one of the ingredients that caused the Great Depression, because the middle class was getting squeezed out. And that's what's kind of happening now. In fact, my understanding, Barack Obama is going to be proposing an extension of the payroll tax cuts that happened last December. And that's mainly for the middle class, to help the middle class get through this tough recession temporarily. And he wants to extend it. And my understanding is the Republicans in Congress are going to fight it tooth and nail. I'm sitting there going, oh, tax cuts for the rich are okay, but tax cuts for the middle class are not. And by the way, that statistic that John is giving you about 50% of the people don't pay taxes, well, they don't pay taxes in this regard. They pay their federal income tax, and then they get deductions, just like the rich get for their homes and things like that. It's just because they don't have as much money, those deductions end up bringing down their federal tax to pretty much zero. But the rich are still getting those tax deductions just like anybody else. And they get the benefit from those. Why shouldn't the middle class get the benefit?
Well, okay. Paul, the answer to your question is that yes, everybody gets their deductions, but after the deductions are taken, 50% of the public don't pay any federal taxes at all. I frankly don't even want to talk about Warren Buffett because he's irrelevant. Warren Buffett isn't the majority of the country, but you're trying to justify Warren Buffett paying more taxes and carry that down to people with incomes of $250,000 paying more taxes, and that you're talking apples and oranges. Now, in fact, I've done studies here recently, and I have compared the relative percentages of wealthy versus poor in this country since 1900, and the numbers have not significantly changed, Paul. There is not an increased concentration of wealth in this country. There have always been fabulously wealthy people in this country, and the percentages are roughly the same, and I have the statistics to show it to you. But the main point is that the raising taxes on people who are already paying 70% of the taxes of this country, while half of the people pay nothing in federal income taxes, is ridiculous. And
well, that's because they're making 70% of the wealth of this country.
No, that's
yes,
not
it
no, it, no, it isn't true, Paul. And moreover, that doesn't justify your effort to redistribute wealth. All you're talking about is redistributing wealth. And insofar as, and that's not justified, and it's never worked in any society in the world. That's, in fact, why the European countries who have tried that are having to retrench and try something different, because they're all broke. The answer to it is that we need to encourage growth. And incidentally, the Republicans are not against the payroll tax cut. The point they're trying to make is that a short-term payroll tax cut is not going to grow this economy. They'll vote for the tax cut on the payroll tax, but giving people a six-month or a one-year payroll tax cut, yeah, that'll put some more money back into the economy. It's another form of stimulus. They'll vote for it, but it is not an answer. It is not a plan.
Let's go ahead, Paul.
Here's the plan. Here's the plan, and this is basically the outline of what Barack Obama wants to do. He wants to basically do about $130 billion infrastructure jobs program, rebuilding our roads, building power lines, places where we can get wind energy from in the Great Plains. Those things are giving people jobs, has a ripple effect through the economy, and take that $130 billion, pay for it with by cutting the tax cuts, getting rid of the tax cuts for the very wealthy in this country that Bush put into place. And by doing that, you do that for 3 years, you don't put one dime on the deficit that way. You pay for it. And then on top of that, once that infrastructure program is over and we're out of this bad economy because people had jobs and we primed the pump, then for forever from that point forward, that $130 billion per year revenue goes right directly to debt reduction.
Well,
if that's the way we should do it.
We've got to take a break.
If the Republicans want to vote against that,
go ahead quickly, John, before we take a break.
Well, Paul, all you're talking about is doubling down on Obama's existing failure. We gave him $1 trillion to do all these shovel-ready jobs, and the corruption in the federal government was such that they didn't use it. Now they want to come back and say, oh, trust us, we're going to use it correctly this time.
They used it correctly, and where did you say that there's corruption? I think
we're going to take a break.
It's ridiculous.
Okay, Paul, you hang on the line there, Paul, from Flagstaff, and John Munger will stay with us here. We're going to take a break on the Buckmaster Show as we come up on 12:17. It's the Monday edition and the Political Face-Off. Stay with us.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at splendidoaz.net.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Well, 21 on the Buckmaster Show, the Monday edition. It's the Political Face-Off. We are on KVOI, The Voice, AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. With me in studio, commentator John Munger, and on the Buckmaster Show live line from Flagstaff, Paul Eckerstrom. Paul and John, we've been talking a little bit about what Warren Buffett had said a week ago. Now there's been quite a backlash among, well, some very wealthy people who say, heck, they're paying their fair share. John Munger, what about some of these shovel-ready projects that Mr. Obama had
talked
about?
Well, Mr. Obama told us that projects for the original stimulus were shovel-ready. And instead, what they did is they shoveled the money to the states so that the states could continue to pay their government union workers for another year at the cost, incidentally, of $220,000 a job. So that's what the stimulus did. It kept union employees, government union employees on the job. It was an insider job. They kept them on the job for another year at $220,000 a job. And now they're saying, oh, well, and even Obama himself admitted, oh, the jobs weren't really shovel ready. So he wants to double down on his failure and try it again.
Okay, Paul, go ahead.
The original stimulus program was I think, a mistake, and was a mistake by both the Obama administration for kowtowing to the Republicans, which they only got 3 votes in the Senate from, to make 40% of it went to tax cuts. 40% of it went to tax cuts. And only one quarter of it went to actual infrastructure rebuilding jobs. And yes, some of it went to the states to save jobs for teachers and police officers, which, by the way, if they lost their jobs, was going to be very, very detrimental to our economy. But most of it went to tax cuts, and I'm sitting there going, let's spend all let's do a round of a real jobs program where we're rebuilding infrastructure that's absolutely necessary. Everybody knows our freeways, our sewers, our water systems, they're all 50, 60 years old and they're falling apart. We need to rebuild them anyway for the long term economic health of this country. Put people back to work. It's not just the construction worker on the road that's getting a job. It's the guy that helps get the steel and rebar for it. It's the guy that's at the concrete factory making that. It's the guy at the asphalt factory making that. Those people then have jobs. They can circulate the money in the economy and help the small businesses and shop owners that sell things to them. and then we can get back on track. And once we're back on track and in a growth mode, then we can actually put that money towards balancing the budget. But let me tell you something. I am outraged at the way the Republicans are doing this. They don't believe in tax cuts for middle class anymore. They only believe in tax cuts for the rich. They're fighting the tooth and nail to keep that those Bush tax cuts in place for the rich. And let me tell you something. The other thing is they want to balance this budget.
Come on.
Cuts on middle class, Social Security,
Paul.
Medicare, okay. All of it.
Okay, let's talk about tax cuts. The only people that are paying taxes anymore are people that are $250,000 and up. They are paying 70% of the taxes. So when, let me finish, Paul. Paul,
hold on.
Paul, please.
John's turn now.
Please let me finish, Paul. The only people paying taxes in the federal government level right now are people who are $250,000 or up. So yes, if you want to classify somebody making $250,000 as rich, yes, they want a tax cut. Yes, they are the small business people. What I have a problem with, Paul, is we've tried three stimulus programs, one under Bush and two under Obama. We now have 9% unemployment. The economy is crashing. We're going into a second recession. And Obama, incidentally, has never had, you mentioned he had a plan. He's never had a plan. He submitted a budget to the Congress with a $10 trillion deficit in it. 97 of 97 senators voted against it, including every single Democrat. Obama has never presented a plan. What you're talking about is what you hope Obama will come up with. This guy does not lead. And finally, Paul, I want to say this. The government, I don't know when you guys will get this through your head, but the government doesn't create jobs. The best thing the government can do is get out of the way. Quit your killing jobs with regulations.
Okay, Paul, go ahead.
We got out of the way before the Great Depression, and look what it got us. We got out of the way, government got out of the way prior to this horrible recession with banking regulations going by the wayside. Look what happened. You know what? Let me tell you something. If the Republicans want to do a tax reform package where we eliminate all tax deductions and all tax loopholes, guess who's got the most benefit from those? It's the very wealthy. They hire the lobbyists to put them in the tax code. Who do you think benefits from that? That's why Warren Buffett only pays 17% of his income towards taxes. So I'm all for it. If you want to do a tax reform where everybody's going to have to pay a little bit in because they don't have a deduction anymore, fine, because the rich are going to be paying their fair share then.
Until
that happens, John, I think we should get rid of the Bush tax cut.
Well, Paul, okay. Paul, the rich, as you classify them, as $250,000 or up, are paying virtually all the taxes anyway. The people that you're talking about that we should have tax cuts for not only don't pay taxes, but actually get a refund from the government having paid no taxes.
That's a small percentage.
No, well, that exists, Paul. And so what we need to do, Paul, is go back to what makes America special. And what makes America special is creating jobs in the small business sector. Quit comparing Warren Buffett to me. I'm not Warren Buffett. No single listener in this program is a Warren Buffett. Everybody out there is in the that's in the private sector knows what I'm talking about. And part of the problem here, Paul, is the people that are preaching what you're preaching are all people who are either on government jobs or who are from the charitable sector or are on welfare.
Okay, Paul, go ahead.
Well, one thing I would say is if we didn't have the government doing what it did early on in this recession, we'd be in a depression. And if we don't have the government do what we did in World War II, which is massive government spending that got us out of the Great Depression, we would never have been out of the Great Depression. World War II forced our hand enough to up the spending that FDR was already doing and got us out of the Depression. And that was the biggest jobs program in the history of mankind was World War II. So why wouldn't a jobs program work now?
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, Paul. FDR tried this Keynesian stimulus plan from 1932 all the way up to 1941.
Yep. And it didn't work. It wasn't enough.
I know. So what you want to do is spend us into oblivion and then trust you to cut the spending later. Paul, we don't trust you. And we don't trust the government to cut the spending later. Your concept of spend now and save later is classic bad economics. It doesn't work.
A temporary three-year
Yeah,
job
trust
program.
Us to cut the trust us.
Yeah?
That's
temporary
what you want us to do. I don't trust you, Paul, and nobody else trusts you either.
Well, Paul, quick final word, Paul, 5 seconds.
Well, you know, a three-year temporary jobs program is what we need. We need to put people back to work to get this economy going again.
Okay.
And then the money would go directly to debt reduction.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Okay, Paul, have a safe trip. Paul Eckerstrom, have a safe trip back to Tucson. John Munger, thank you very much, John.
We've
got to take a break right here. We'll be back right after this with the Buckmaster Show on this Monday.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama warns the situation in Libya is still fluid and uncertain, and the whereabouts of Muammar Gaddafi are still a mystery. But speaking today from Martha's Vineyard, the president said it appears that Gaddafi's nearly 42-year rule is almost over. Gun battles are still being heard in Tripoli, although Libyan rebels say they now control 95% of the capital city. Oil prices overseas fell today because of expectations that Libya will soon resume its oil exports. The first of 11 men to plead guilty in the hijacking of a yacht off Africa back in February has been sentenced in Norfolk, Virginia. The sentence, life in prison. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 82 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along LaCholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 12:34. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station at AM 1030. Then, of course, we have our simulcast partners up in Gila County in Globe and down in Cochise County listening to us in Douglas. So we've got Southern Arizona covered. Parts of the Southwest, especially Texas, are in the midst of the worst drought in recorded history. In Texas, the lakes are drying up, livestock dying as the heat continues. Dallas has had a record string of days over 100 degrees. This week, we have the first of two reports focusing on the drought and the wildfire season that will go down in the record books in Arizona as perhaps the worst on record. On Wednesday, we'll talk with renowned expert on wildfires and drought, Dr. Tom Swetnam. He heads up the Tree Ring Laboratory at the University of Arizona. And today, we talk with the Buckmaster Show contributor on the environment, Mitch Tobin, who joins us on the Buckmaster Show live line from his home in Colorado. Mitch is a former Arizona Daily Star and Tucson Citizen reporter. He's the author of the book Endangered, showing why so many species are at risk of extinction, and he advocates for policies that will protect biodiversity in a warmer world. Mitch Tobin, good to talk with you.
Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing real well, but I'm very concerned about this drought, and I know you've looked at, as have I, those maps that show the drought in the Southwest, and there is a lot of very dark red for areas that are below, believe it or not, 15 inches below the rain they should be getting. It's pretty serious.
Yeah, it's been quite a drought in the last year or so, and really, if you look back over the last 15 years, many of the years have been down years in terms of rainfall and precipitation, and so this year really reminded me a lot of 2002, when we also had a lot of big wildfires in the Southwest, Radio Chedestai among them. And I covered that fire while I was working for the newspaper in Tucson, and at that point it was about 470,000 acres. We really didn't think that we were going to see another fire that would eclipse that for a really long time. That one shattered the old record, but sure enough, this year the Walla Fire has even eclipsed the Radio Chedestai fire.
You know, Mitch,
over 500,000 acres.
Mitch, you're living, of course, up in Colorado, and we had someone, one of the CAP advisory board members on the show here recently, and she was talking about, yes, the drought is very bad here in Arizona, New Mexico, parts of Texas, but up in your area in Colorado, there's been, I guess, a tremendous near-record snowfall in some parts of the watershed for the Colorado River.
Yeah, for the overall Colorado River Basin, especially for the upper part of the basin in places like Wyoming and Utah and here in Colorado, it was a very, very wet winter as well as a wet spring. And so a lot of places were recording record snowpack, and snowpack is what feeds the rivers, the Colorado among them. So you have this sort of paradox that while places like Tucson and Arizona have been really suffering through a very deep drought, other places further north have been exceptionally wet, and we're all sort of bound together, especially when it comes to water, because the water supply for Tucson is at least partially dependent on the Colorado River, and that water source extends all the way up into the Wind River Range, Wyoming, the Rockies here in Colorado. And so what's happening in one part of the basin is actually not all that unusual for it to be sort of the reverse of what's happening in the other part of the basin, where in some years it may be wet in Arizona, dry in Wyoming, and vice versa.
You know, you wrote about this and did write in the book, your book Endangered, about really how the biodiversity, how do we even protect biodiversity in a warmer world? And I think we're going to be facing here certainly a warmer world in southern Arizona, aren't we?
Yeah, and, you know, drought is a normal, natural part of the weather cycle here in the Southwest especially, but really, you know, throughout the world. And so droughts are not unusual. Some of the ones that we've experienced in the last few years have been pretty exceptional ones. But the concern with climate change and global warming is that these extreme events, the very, very dry years, and also conversely, the super wet flood years, will become more common and more intense. And so what the climate scientists are telling us is that these extreme events, be it drought or flood, is much more likely as we continue to heat up the planet.
I want to talk about this controversy over what we should do in the wake of these mega forest fires that we've had. Patrick Graham, who is the state director for the Nature Conservancy in Arizona, had an op-ed piece a week or so ago in the Arizona Republic asking that it's time, not asking, urging, thin our forests now, that Arizona's forests definitely need help. There's quite a debate going on about what we should do, I guess, about our forest land.
Well, there is to some extent. I mean, there's actually a pretty broad consensus in a place like Arizona or New Mexico, the ponderosa pine forest there, that pretty much all the fire ecologists and foresters agree that we have a system that's out of balance because we've kept fire out of these places through fire suppression, and therefore the fuel has built up. So when a fire does enter these areas, and you do have a hot, dry period like we've had this year, those blazes don't stay on the ground as they naturally would have, but they get up into the canopy, and at that point, all of the most expensive and technologically advanced firefighting equipment in the world can't do very much. It's a running canopy or a crown fire, and it's just sort of unstoppable at that point. So there is actually consensus, even among a lot of environmentalists, that at least in certain places, the forest would benefit if we did thin some of that kindling and some of the smaller trees that are clogging the forest. There's pretty strong consensus around communities that this should be done. Where you start to see more disagreement is as you move further and further into the backcountry and farther away from homes. And there, the support among environmental groups drops off. Although I should say that some scientists, some environmental groups, feel that even in places that are not immediately adjacent to a community, it's worth thinning because you're trying to replicate a more natural condition of the forest.
I guess a lot of it boils down to money, doesn't it? When you do the math, the estimated cost to fight the Wallow Fire up there that we had, the terrible fire in eastern Arizona, and to control the expected erosion is close to $200 million. So there's a lot of money here at stake.
There is. Fire suppression is a very expensive business, and that's why people feel like even though it is costly to thin forests, to run prescribed burn operations, which are somewhat cheaper to do, even though there is an expenditure that's involved, well, first of all, it does create jobs, but also it's an ounce of prevention, and it's much more costly if you have to come in later and then fight the fire. So thinning forest is not cheap. It can cost $500 an acre, $1,000 an acre, and we're talking about millions and millions of acres around the West, so you get to see pretty quickly the numbers add up. But there does seem to be pretty strong agreement that when it's done properly, it really can reduce the risk of some of these more intense and destructive fires.
Mitch Tobin has been our guest on the Buckmaster Show. Mitch contributes to us on the Buckmaster Show as the environment contributor. And I guess as far as the drought here in southern Arizona, a lot of people are saying this may be the new normal, Mitch Tobin.
It could. I mean, the climate change predictions are suggesting that the Southwest is going to be drier. In the more near term, there's a possibility that this La Nina weather pattern may redevelop. So it's quite possible that the Southwest will continue to be in the drought for the foreseeable future.
Okay, Mitch Tobin, have a great afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, Mitch Tobin, the Buckmaster Show contributor on the environment. And if you think it was hot, well, Phoenix is looking at the highest temperatures ever recorded for the month of August. So I guess, hope it's not the new normal. Could be, though. 12:43 on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. We'll talk about the Viper Institute. That's next. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tankerville Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
It's 12:47 on the Buckmaster Show, the Monday edition. If you'd like to join in, I do the interviews, but I'm always welcoming your questions, because I have found they're usually very right on and good ones. So if you've got a question for any of our guests, please feel free, 790-2040, 790-2040. It's being called an historic event, the Federal Drug Administration's approval of Anziscorp, the first ever drug treatment for scorpion stings. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Dr. Leslie Boyer. With me in studio, Dr. Boyer is director of the Viper Institute. Leslie, good to see you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell me about, what is the Viper Institute?
Well, Viper stands for Venom, Immunochemistry, Pharmacology, and Emergency Response. And we are a center at the University of Arizona that exists to take advantage of nature's biodiversity here in the desert and beyond, and to learn what we can from the biochemistry that's been done by snakes and scorpions and spiders.
And this institute, it makes sense, I guess, that it would be in Arizona.
Absolutely. It turns out that Arizona, among the 50 states, is venom central. We are the place with the greatest biodiversity of venomous snakes, scorpions, spiders, Gila monsters, and other creatures.
Tell me about this, what is being, as I say, it's a historic event, Anziscorp?
Anascorp is the commercial name for a new anti-venom that will treat people who are suffering the effects of nerve poisoning after a sting by a bark scorpion.
Tell me about a bark scorpion.
Bark scorpions are one of many, many scorpions that we have here in North America. In the United States, most scorpions, if they sting you, will cause a little pain, kind of like a bee sting or a wasp sting. But in the United States, there's one, and in Mexico, there are eight different types of scorpion that can put a toxin into the skin of a person that will then soak in and affect the nerves in a potentially deadly way.
And there had not been any treatment for these people until now?
Well, we've had a treatment, but the treatment has varied over the years, and most recently when we ran out of the antivenom that was once made at ASU, we were left with a choice of intensive care for children who were stung by the scorpion. It keeps you alive, but it's very unpleasant. And for children who might be stung in rural Arizona, far distant from intensive care, to go without antivenom was a very dangerous possibility. We wanted to prevent trouble for those children.
How long does it take for someone to get treatment once they're stung?
Well, the typical time course is this. A child is stung and cries out in pain, and then does okay for a few minutes. But 15 to 20 minutes later, they begin to lose control over their nerves. That means they can't walk properly, they can't talk properly, their crying sounds strange, they drool and they sweat, and they thrash and twitch in a very unnerving way that frightens their parents. Shortly after that, in a severe case, they lose their ability to breathe properly. And it's at that point, half an hour to an hour after the sting, that it's a really dangerous situation. The faster these children can get to the nearest emergency room, the better. And it's been our goal during the last decade of research to have a research antivenom within reach of every child in Arizona. Finally, we're out of the research phase, and it'll be possible for hospitals to stock that antivenom as a regular medication.
How was this drug developed?
This drug was originally developed in Mexico, where Mexican biochemists, who took advantage of Mexico's greater number of scorpion incidents, figured out ways to do an old-fashioned technology in a new and fancier way. The old-fashioned technology is easy to understand. Basically, you take a horse. A horse has an immune system that's similar to a human immune system. That is, they make antibodies when they've been exposed to something. You give that horse a series of immunizations, just like you would give a child a series of tetanus shots. And over the course of 6 months to a year, maybe a year and a half, that horse builds up a powerful immune system with a lot of strong antibodies. After that point, the horse becomes a career plasma donor, just like if you and I went to the plasma donation center at the Red Cross. And once a month or so, the horse donates plasma, which can then be purified down to the antibodies themselves, treated with some biochemistry tricks, bottled and sold as antivenom. That is what our Mexican colleagues figured out to do particularly well. And then we here at the University of Arizona tested it in our patients in an elaborate series of clinical trials that met the standards of the U.S. FDA.
And it's now available?
It is now approved by the FDA, and as soon as the company can get the packages labeled and on the shelves, it will be ready for routine use. As of today, if you're stung by a scorpion, you're still going to be getting the last of my batch of experimental drug, but soon it will be routinely on the hospital shelves.
And it's not just scorpions that the Viper Institute is concerned with. You're concerned with really these venomous creatures of the Sonoran Desert.
That's right. We're concerned with the venomous creatures of the world, really, but we're lucky that we live in the Sonoran Desert,
yeah,
where
because
the biodiversity
it
is wonderful.
International. There's very, you know, there's different the African, North African deserts, very similar to the Sonoran Desert, and of course into Mexico.
That's right. Our ecosystem here, which we share with northwestern and western Mexico, is remarkably similar to that in North Africa. And for that reason, our North African colleagues in Tunisia, Algeria, and Morocco have begun asking us whether we'd like to collaborate with them to do it again and come up with an antidote for their children's scorpion stings.
Dr. Leslie Boyer is with us on the Buckmaster Show. She's the director of the Viper Institute at the University of Arizona. We've been talking about the development of a new drug to treat scorpion stings. If you'd like to ask any questions about venomous creatures of the Sonoran Desert, 790-2040, 790-2040. You know, we found a centipede today in the Hacienda de Buckmaster swimming pool. Are they poisonous?
Well, yes. The giant desert centipede in particular has enough venom in it that it can cause some serious swelling and redness, and it hurts a lot. Lucky for us, it is almost never bad enough that you would need to be treated in the hospital. Most people with a centipede bite just get a swollen red knuckle out of it or something like that. But they can be kind of scary. They're cool creatures.
How about snake bites this year?
Snake bite is always an important issue in Arizona. We have rattlesnakes in this state. We have more species of rattlesnake than any other state. And this year, as in any other, we're having lots of people who are bitten by snakes, most of them accidentally, some of them who should have known better and shouldn't have tried to pick the snake up.
Some people, I actually have a neighbor, a close friend, who was bitten, was out walking. She was wearing sandals and was out walking at dusk and did not see the snake.
That's a very common way for snake bites to happen. When I was medical director at the Arizona Poison Center, we actually did a study of women who were bitten by snakes, trying to figure out what the risk factors were. And it turned out that walking, either in the morning or in the evening, the times of year when it's lovely, was a risk factor. If you wear sandals and you walk where you can't see very well, then there may be snakes out at that time. You need to watch your step, carry a flashlight, and wear good shoes.
We're going to go to the Buckmaster Show live line. We have Laura on the line, and she has a question for Dr. Leslie Boyer. Go ahead, Laura.
Hi. Are bark scorpion stings as dangerous for adults as they are for children?
Oh, that's an excellent question. The answer is once in a rare while, they're as bad for adults. But most of the time, we adults do pretty well for several reasons. It helps to be big because the dose of venom is the same for a little person as for a big person, and we can just handle it better. More importantly, perhaps, is that we have thick hide. And I hate to say it, but once you're over the age of about six, your skin gets thicker and tougher, and it's not as nicely pink and with such a rich blood supply as a little baby or a one-year-old would have. And the little ones that have the rich blood supply take the venom out of the skin and send it into the blood circulation much faster. So they're at unique risk. We learned through our study, though, that about 20% of the people in Arizona who have enough symptoms to want antivenom are actually adults.
What are some of the tips for avoiding scorpions? What can we do to make our homes perhaps scorpion-free? I guess there's no foolproof way to make it scorpion-free.
No, there's no absolute way.
If you're
going
to live
in the desert,
like in the boy in the bubble or something.
If you're going to live in the desert, you're going to be around desert creatures. Yeah. But there are ways to minimize the risk. For one thing, scorpions eat insects. So the more insects that you have in your home, that's the more scorpion and spider food. If you want to have fewer predators that eat insects, then treat your house for insects. You can spray it or you can keep it clean in the ways that we all know help to reduce your cricket and roach population. There are scorpions that are going to get in the house. If you live in the foothills or in any of the other neighborhoods that abut the desert, and if you take certain precautions in the areas near your doors and windows to make them less interesting as habitat for scorpions to live in, then you'll do a little better. The area around the threshold to the door might be smooth concrete, the sort of thing that doesn't offer a lot of food. If you instead have vegetation right up to the edge, then you have insects and scorpions right up to the edge.
And as far as rattlesnakes around the property?
Well, rattlesnakes are the same thing. You live in the desert, you're going to have snakes. And think about what snake food is. Snakes eat pack rats, they eat mice, they eat small birds, they eat small lizards. The nicer your yard is in terms of a natural desert environment or a heavily watered environment, the more snakes you're going to have. So just be aware. When you go out in the evening, you should have a good light and see where you're going and always look before you put your hand or your foot in a shady place in your yard.
If you're moving a rock, be very careful.
You should never put your fingers where your eyes can't see. You pick up the rock by the edges and look under it. Don't just go jamming your hand underneath. There might be somebody sleeping under there.
Okay, and as far as if you are the victim of a snake attack, there are things that can be done for rattlesnake bites, correct?
Absolutely. If you're bitten by a rattlesnake in Arizona, you need to get to the emergency room as quickly as possible. We say time is tissue, and the sooner that you can get to antivenom, the better it's going to be for you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Leslie Boyer, director of the Viper Institute at the University of Arizona. We'll have you back and talk more about these venomous creatures. Thanks a lot.
It would be my pleasure. Thank you.
The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger and Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it for this Monday on The Buckmaster Show. We're hoping you have a great afternoon. We will see you here on KVOI, The Voice, AM 1030, live tomorrow from noon to 1. Hope you'll be with us. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas, and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.